You know what time it is? It's party time, Mom. Welcome to another episode of the Chad Brady Show here in the Mothership Studio 22. We're hanging out, having a good time. Got a Texas legend on the show today, my buddy John Wayne Walding. If you don't know who he is, well, you're going to get with it today, and you're going to enjoy this. You're going to have a good time. Puppet Master Mark hanging out and driving the Mothership. Candice, Queen of the Ethiopians, telling me everything that I need to think and say. She's my brains. That's exactly right. We're hanging out. We got a full crowd in the studio today, and we're going to have fun, as always. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. Go to the Chad Prather YouTube channel. Subscribe right there and hit that little notification bell so that it'll tell you every time a new episode or video is posted. I bet you guys didn't see the latest truck video that I did you? You didn't see it. People say, you don't do truck videos anymore. Yeah, I do. I do them every week, but you don't see them because Mark Zuckerberg's a fool and he likes to censor us and suppress us. I encourage people to go over to get the app All Social. Go to my page at Watch Chad and follow me there because all my YouTube stuff gets over there. And guess what? They won't suppress what you're trying to put out there. If you follow it, you'll see it. So we know the battle that we're dealing with Facebook. Getting harder and harder to do this thing. You can always listen to the podcast where audio podcasts are available. Those come out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Monday through Thursday. Keep on growing this sucker. I love how you guys keep listening through the weekend because I can tell by the numbers that are just growing. You guys are just listening. I mean, I don't know why you're listening. We just have a good time on here and just hash out a lot of BS, right? Party time, Mom. It's good stuff, though. I'm having fun with it. I love the studio. Always got some fun things going on. Hey, Mark, give me a shot of you guys over there at the control deal. I want to point something out to everybody who keeps saying, now, if you look out over Candace's shoulder right there, you see the little light that's flashing around? Herbert the Silent Deer is in the studio. If we put that light a little bit further out, he would look like Rudolph, right, with that little red light right on his nose. But Herbert the Silent Deer, people keep saying, where's Herbert? Why isn't he here? He's over there. He's still got the deer in the headlight. Looks, that is exactly the face he was making when the truck hit him. We're having a good time. Got John Wayne Walding on the show today. Hang tight. 1 second, coming right back. But in the meantime, enjoy a little bit of that love music from the Texas legend, Steve Helms.
I've been watching you all night long from across the bar. Every guy that hits on you has been wrong so far. Blowing smoke, buying you drinks of this and that. I'm pretty sure I know what you need as a matter of fact. Can I buy you a country song? Not a sad one of love gone wrong. Makes you smile when you turn it on. Can I buy you a country song? Ain't gonna get us a drink just yet. I'm not a gambler, but I'm willing to bet that neither one of us will be alone if I buy you a country song.
Hey, if you're thinking about replacing the carpets in your house, I want you to stop. Stop right now. I know what you're saying. Your argument is, I got pet stains, I got pet odors, I got to replace my carpet. Stop. I want you to try Genesis 950. Before you consider going into the huge expense of replacing your carpet, try Genesis 950. Genesis 950, I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you 100% an amazing pet stain and odor remover. You guys have watched me. You know about Willie. You know about June. You know about Cash. You know our dogs. They're in and out of the house. Let me tell you something. You take a little bit of water. You take Genesis 950. It's going to break down the bonds of stains and odors so they're gone for good. Its antibacterial component removes pet stains and odors from the carpet and even down into the padding. It can be used in a carpet cleaning machine, and it's green, so it's safe for both your family and your pets. You're not going to harm anybody. So if you're tired of pet cleaners that don't work, you got to try Genesis 950. 1 gallon of industrial strength Genesis 950 can make up to 7 gallons of cleaner. You can use a larger ratio if it's required for older stains or bigger odors. And Genesis 950 is not just for your pet stains and odors. You can clean your entire house with it. That's right. Bathrooms, kitchens, countertops, granite, quartz, garage floors, oil and grease stains, engines, wheels, tools, upholstery. Before you purchase new carpet, try Genesis 950. Genesis 950 is available on Amazon.com, but if you order a gallon direct at Genesis950.com, you will receive a free spray bottle, and you're going to get a discount using the word Blaze, B-L-A-Z-E. Go to Genesis950.com, Genesis950.com. What's up, everybody? Y'all have no idea the grief I deal with in this studio, putting up with the people that are in. See, y'all love them. And Party Foul Steve gets a message every day saying, I wish Chad wasn't so mean to you. You have no idea what I deal with here. These people are nuts. They're crazy. Look over here at the pub.
Hey.
Defend yourself.
You can be mean to me as long as you keep paying me.
Yeah.
I don't care what you say to me.
No, me too.
Once the check clears, I'm good.
Nobody could ever be mean to you, Natalie.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
I bet I could beat her up pretty good.
And what was your takeaway from that statement there, Sarah? Is that a Me Too thing?
It was.
Yeah?
It was.
It absolutely was.
Hashtag almost me.
I'm triggered.
Yeah, I bet. Anyway, we got a good show for you. Hey, if you like Steve Helms, and some people choose to do that, I don't know why they like to torture themselves that way. If you like Steve Helms' music, he's got about 5 or 6 albums out. You should get them. That song he just had there in the transition, the Buy Me a Country song, that's the name of this latest CD. Go get it. He needs new money. He's broke. And I think
he needs people to buy his country song.
Yeah, I know, exactly. So anyway, appreciate Steve coming in here and doing what Steve does, and playing his music. We're trying to be legit in here. That's the deal. I think we're semi-legit.
You're really close to a liberal talk show entrance.
I mean, I'm basically Ellen DeGenerate.
You are.
What's her name?
You're the gay pope.
Generous?
Oh, boy, howdy. Let's get into it. John Wayne Walding is in the studio. Thanks for coming in, man.
Thanks for having me.
It's always fun getting around you. We got a lot of mutual friends that are all crazy and that kind of stuff. And you start bringing up people that we've had on the show, whether it's Jeff Kyle or Jacob Schick and all those guys. And Jake Schick's lost a lot of weight. A lot of weight. Keto, baby. Keto's where it's at. I lost like 20 pounds on keto.
Did you really?
I gained it right back. I did.
You found it.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle. You have to actually stay keto, Chad.
Yeah, I know, but that is so boring.
Big Mac with extra sauce is not keto.
Yeah.
John, well, with the bread.
So you stay in pretty good shape. You eat a certain...
Well, I've had a weight problem my whole life. I can't wait to eat my whole life. That's kind of how I roll, but it's real easy just... Don't get fat.
Yeah, that's it. You work out. You're constantly working out.
I'll quote a good friend of mine, Ted Nugent. I'll never forget whenever I opened up for him. And the first thing he did when he got on stage, he's like, even you can look this good at 72 years old. He's like, I don't drink. I don't do narcotics. I don't smoke. And I don't do fat chicks.
Uncle Ted. So that's wisdom.
Yeah, I learned from him. Learned from the best.
Yeah. He said, I've heard him say he'd never had a drop of alcohol in his life.
Motor City Madman has been sober.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Crazy.
He's a nut.
He sounds like Donald Trump.
Yeah, can you? I've always said, can you imagine what a drunk Trump? I don't think I can imagine a drunk Nugent. I saw Ted come out on stage one time years ago, and he just gets in the microphone. He goes, I'm going to rip off your head and on your neck.
He don't
like,
care.
The show was on. It was on.
Was that Robert Downey Jr. never go full retard?
Yeah.
I mean, off the bat, that's the way he started.
That's exactly right, man. That's exactly right. So funny. So you're talking about weight loss plan. You did it the hard way. You lost at least 30 pounds.
I did in one day.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't lose it. I knew where it was. It just didn't work anymore, right? Army's got accountability, kind of a big thing.
Exactly.
I had accountability. Just didn't work.
You got a great story, though. And I know you've told it a lot. And a lot of people have heard it. But I never get tired of hearing it. It's a great story. I mean, you talk about folks who are war heroes and have done some great things for this country, and you're certainly one of them. I mean, you've served and also sacrificed quite a bit, and the platform of being able to tell that story is pretty amazing. You know,
yeah, I've been very blessed to be a part of a great team. Mm-hmm. You know, it's definitely not my story; it's my team's story, and I'm just honored to be a little small part of it. You know, and you know, I'll go ahead and tell it. You know, I was on ODA 396, which was, or 3336 is what we ended up being. And it's the Special Forces team. And we were going up against a bad guy up a mountain April 6, 2008. And let me tell you, it was one of the hardest days of my life, Chad. It was one of the days that I never worked harder, right? I never gave more effort. I never did more than I could have possibly done, and I find myself waking up the next day, you know, at Bagram in a hospital, you know, looking down and only seeing one leg, and that was one of the most profound moments of my life, and because I remember, I never will forget staring at the ceiling tiles, not wanting to look down, right, because I knew why I was there, you know, I knew what had happened, but I was like, kind of like Ricky Bobby with my high income and advanced in modern science. There's no reason to think they couldn't have saved the leg, right? That's what I, but.
And you had taken sniper fire.
Yeah, I'll tell you more of it. So we were kill capture mission, mm-hmm. and we got infield at the base of a wadi, which is a valley. I don't know why when you change continents, a valley turns into a wadi, but that's what it is. And, you know, like Mike Tyson eloquently said, everybody's got a plan to get punched in the mouth.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it was with us, because right off the bat, we were in CH-47, which is Chinooks, right? The helicopter with two rotors, one in the front mm-hmm. and the back, or the tailgate that falls down. And that tailgate went down, and we saw the green light, and we started to run off the back of this helicopter, but they weren't even on the ground yet. So we had to jump with 60 pounds of kit, and we thought we were going to have sprained knees and ankles right off the get-go, but nobody was injured at that point, fortunately, and that's when we started to go toward the objective, and we're literally climbing the mountain. I mean, mm-hmm. we were using each other's knees and kit to go to the next terrace, and we were going up switchbacks, which is a goat path up mm-hmm. a mountain, right? And I was the assault team 1 leader, and then we had the command and control element that was behind me, and then assault team 2. And ultimately, our job was, I was the first guys into the building. We would go in there, lock it down, and then the command and control would come to us, and then assault team 2 would leapfrog. Mm-hmm. And we'd do that all the way to the objective, to the X, right? Well, I was 40 yards from the first building into this objective, and that's when we got opened up on. And I say it was with an avalanche of gunfire, and I don't say that to beat my chest to say I was cooler than Navy SEAL. That's the reality of what we were living at this moment. Yeah. And to put it in perspective, within 5 minutes of the first round fired, we already had our lead interpreter, CK, got shot in the throat, died on impact. We had our radio transmitting operator, Special Forces Green Beret, was Dylan Baer, got shot in the hip. Initial assessment to him was 20 minutes to live. Mm. So we knew we weren't going to get off the mountain in 20 minutes. We knew we weren't going to, you know, suppress the enemy in 20 minutes. We knew the medevac bird wasn't going to get there, so Dylan's dead, right? Mm-hmm. And then another buddy of mine, Luis Morales, he was shot in the leg twice. And I never will forget hearing his radio transmission, you know, because we had the Peltor hearing devices on our ears. And he said, "John, come get me, brother." And if you know anything about military etiquette, of radio etiquette, you don't say that. Mm-hmm. You know, Bravo 1, this is Echo 1. Charlie 2, this is Charlie 3. Or Team Ramrod, this is Team Awesome. Whatever your call sign is, that's what you use. And I knew he was shot so bad that you know, he might not make it out. And that's when we got called back down, right? So I was up closer to the village, and we got called down and pretty much initiated Operation Human Shield. Mm-hmm. You know, myself, Dave Sanders, another SF guy, and the rest of our element was the bullet catchers to catch the bullets while the medic, you know, Ron, kept them alive. And it worked great for about 2 hours, so we're about 2.5, almost 3 hours into this firefight now. And I never will forget going to the one position to the next, and I fell forward, and I felt this pain. When I rolled over, my leg was just, you know, hanging at a 45-degree angle, only by an inch of flesh. And I cried. You know, I screamed, I yelled, I did every normal thing that you would ever do. I didn't just tell my sergeant I didn't have time to bleed or grab my Green Beret and say, you know, I did what normal guys do and tried to overcome what my new normal was. And that's I'm bleeding to death. I'm literally dying right now. And you know, that was the first thing that I had to deal with. And I never, the second thing that I thought of was like, Spielberg got it right. Because it looked just like the movies. You know, when they chop a guy's head off, the blood just squirts.
Yeah.
You know, my redneck ass was like, well, I'll be damn looky there. You know, just like the movies, boss. And so we put the tourniquet on and you know, I turned it and we could see the blood whenever it would stop bleeding. And at that point, that's when I grabbed my boot and then I just folded into my groin and, you know, I held it between my thighs the rest of the way down off the mountain. Mm. This is halfway through the firefight, so I'm still, you know, halfway.
You're still in it.
Still in this, right? And my team sergeant, Scott Ford, he gets shot from me to you. So I'm on my butt looking up, and I see Scott. Now, Scott Ford, he's, you know, Chuck Norris wears Scott Ford underwear. Like, that's how cool my team sergeant is. You know, he's been an SF guy for 16 years, killed more people in cancer, been to all the cool guy schools. Like, he's the guy I knew was going to get us out, and I see him get shot from me to you, and that was the first time that I thought we might die. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, well, all right, better get right with baby Jesus, and let's make this, you know, a good exit. And fortunately, his breastplate worked, right, because he got shot right in the chest, and he got back up, and he kept fighting. But within 5 minutes, his left arm filleted off the back because he got shot in the shoulder. Mm. And After that, that's whenever the forces that be above us, right, all the commanders that are watching all this happening, hearing the radio traffic of Ford, you know, soft people injured, they diverted pretty much every air asset in theater to our location. So every fast mover helicopter, they came to us, and that's when they started dropping ordnance. And when I say they were dropping ordnance, they were dropping 100-pound, 250-pound, 500, 1,000, even 2,000-pound JDAM. Mm. And to put things into perspective, right, everybody knows the term danger close, right? What danger close means, if when you make a bomb, you have to publish the safest proximity to the detonation of that bomb. Pretty close, you know, important piece of information.
Yeah.
Like Ron White, right? I didn't know how many they were going to use, but I knew how many it was going to take.
Yeah, exactly.
And so danger close for a 2,000-pound JDAM is 1,000 meters, which is 10 football fields, right, more than, or a major terrain feature, and they were dropped them 100 yards on top of her head.
Wow.
And the explosions were so much that it actually got dark after that it would explode, like Battle 300, the arrows blacked out the sun, right? That's what it was like when it would drop. I mean, it was just the most, you know, profound explosion that we'd obviously ever heard. And felt, and that's the only time that they would ever stop fighting, because this whole time of this firefight, it wasn't that, you know, the violence of action wasn't necessarily there. It was just a sustained rate of fire, bap, 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 bap. I mean, for hours and hours, they just wouldn't. I kept thinking, I'm like, are they going to run out of ammo? I know they don't have that much ammo in Afghanistan, right? But when we would drop that ordnance, they would get quiet, and that's when we would fall off the backside of the mountain.
Mm.
And that's, you know, wash, rinse, repeat, drop a bomb. I would scoot on my butt, and I never forget looking over at the ledge, and then either somebody helped lowering me down or just falling over the side of it. And that's how we got to the base of the mountain. And I never will forget, so before I tell about this ex-villain, you know what the morphine injectors are? It's a kind of a famous story there, but tell the story, John, and thumb. Well, the morphine injector is a little pin, and when you stick in your leg, the needle goes out and gives you morphine, right? Well, I'm literally kicking my own ass at this time, so it's kind of something I want to do, right? I live by the creed that I'm dumb, but I know I'm dumb, so it almost makes me smart, right? I'll do some dumb stuff.
Bingo.
So I never forget asking, you know, my medic, Mr. Special Forces medic, been a year of, you know, medic school. I'm like, hey, Ron, what way down? And he said purple, and I put it into my thumb, and I heard him say, no, red, and it went into my thumb.
Oh, God.
And so I grabbed that, and I'm talking about the level of rage that come over me. I threw it at Ron. I'm like, Ron, I was like, you suck, Ron. You had one job. You messed it up. I told him, I'm going to beat you in my leg when I see you, Ron. And just like we were laughing on the side of a mountain.
Yeah.
Like the whole team was
laughing. While they're dropping orders.
While they're dropping orders, I'm cussing my medic, telling him he sucks at life. I'm like, yeah, one job, Ron.
You'd earned it.
Yeah. Since I'm on, Ron, I'll stay on him. I never will forget, again, dumb, know I'm dumb. It was at least 30 minutes that I've gotten shot, foot in crotch, right? Which I said crotch on national television, by the way.
Yeah.
My wife was like, really, John, crotch, national TV? I'm like, well, I didn't want to say balls. It's all I could think of, you know.
I had to wrap my sack around my foot.
Yeah. Which one's it going to be? And, you know, but I never forget thinking, nobody has checked on me but me, and I'm not qualified to keep me alive.
Yeah.
Right? So I asked Ron, hey, Ron, come check me out, right? Well, he was working on Dylan, and I never forget his little peanut head looking, just coming over Dylan. He gives me a thumbs up. He says, you're good. I'm like, you, Ron, I'm not good. Like, I know me good. This is not good. You know, and but obviously he was smart enough to know if I was loud enough to cuss him. And
dead gummit, Ron.
Yeah. But, and I'll tell you more about him in a little bit. But,
That's awesome.
But yeah, he knew what he was doing. But we got off the mountain, and the first medevac bird that came in there, we actually had to get drug. There was a river in this wadi that I got drug across. So again, this is April, 10,000 feet above sea level. And so this is 35 degree water, right? I thought I was going to die of hypothermia just be from getting drugged through there. And I remember seeing the bottom of that helicopter come down, and Scott's got his left arm, you know, taped up, and he went to go grab it. Well, the aircraft flies away.
Oh, gosh.
We actually have audio of the pilot saying, I'm hit, I'm going south. The pilot got shot. And so when it goes, we had to drag me and everybody else. We were getting lit up by, you know, fire, and drag back across the river to the base of the mountain. Second medevac bird gets here, which wasn't a medevac bird at all. It was just a UH-60 that had a couple SF guys on there that basically they landed, got off, and we got on it. And when we were taking off, I just had this sense of calming about, wow, we just made it out. And as soon as that got through there, I remember hearing beep, 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 beep. We had to do a crash landing because the aircraft took so much damage, it couldn't even make it to the hospital. So I was like, well, come on, baby Jesus. You know, what do I get? Gunshot, hypothermia, now helicopter crash. Which one's it going to be?
Yeah.
And we got crossloaded.
Morphine in your thumb.
Morphine in the thumb. Ron sucks at life. I'm one-legged. Come on. Credit sucks, you know. But anyway, we got to the Jalalabad, which is where the combat hospital was. And think about it. And I like to bring this up when I tell the story. People truly forget how young the men and women that fight the wars are.
Right.
The cliche saying it's a young man's game. It's true. So, you know, you can join the military at 17 with the parents' permission, at 18 without, right? And go to a medic school for 6 months and be downrange at 19 years old saving lives.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And when when I was pushed in, right? Yeah, that's wishful thinking. Mm-hmm. When I hopped, you know, they call me IHOP. When we walked into the hospital, these kids' eyes were like grapefruits because we looked like, you know, extras from a Saw 5 movie, right? Because my legs chopped off, Scott's this, Dylan's this, and everything. And you could just tell they were overwhelmed with fear because of what they're seeing. And I stopped breathing. And imagine how helpless it is to be from me to you, and I can't tell you that I can't breathe because you're looking at my leg, right? Because it looks horrible, like it should. And so I grabbed the guy and I pulled it to me and I pointed at my mouth, which I thought was the international sign of I can't choke. I don't know. I figured it out, right? And I see, you know, it dawned on him. He's like, oh. So how they had got me to breathe is they gave me chest tubes, which meaning with no anesthesia, they got a knife and cut through my ribs and put a tube into my chest. Well, I was all jacked up on nicotine and hate because of being downrange for that time. I threw that guy over me, the first one, and when I blacked out was when like four people came over, and you know, and then I died a couple times, but they brought me back. I always say that was my joke, just to see if my guys was going to cry.
Like,
yep, you cried. But and that's why I woke up in Bagram, you know, and it was the most debilitating thing that I've ever had to get through in my life. And it's not the leg.
Yeah.
It was the mental of the word can't. I can't walk. Chad, for the rest of my life, no matter how much effort I give, I can't. Not without the aid of a prosthetic device.
Mm-hmm.
And for a 27-year-old Green Beret that for his entire life, I could play sports, played football in Groesbeck, right? I can climb mountains, jump out of airplanes. I can do anything. If I want to be a ballerina, I knew I could do the first John Wayne ballerina. That'd be a good one, wouldn't it? I could. And that mental gut punch was the hardest thing to overcome, which it's, I never will, right? But there's three things that helped me get over it, and the first one for me was God. I always say that there's no tactical handbook that says that 15 Americans go up against 250, and after 6.5 hours, we're alive,
mm-hmm.
much less win. But with God's, you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's your own medical handbook that says that a guy literally is kicking his own ass for 10, you know, for 4 hours on the side of a mountain. No clean room, no hospital, bombs going off. There's no medical handbook that says I should be alive right now, but with God's it does. And it took the why me's away because I had a lot of them. Let mm-hmm. me tell you something. You want to talk about a guy that why me got at 27? You know, I'm a good guy, right? I got a good job. Don't beat my family, pay my bills. Why me? But when I put him at the center and I realize that he's the reason that I'm alive, that it's not my job to wonder why me. It's my job to do the best that I can on the path that he's put me on.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just that switch that said, okay, I get it. I get what, you know, so I don't say why me anymore. I say, what are you teaching me, God?
Mm-hmm.
When something bad happens or if I'm trying to deal with something that I don't really understand and I don't say why, I say what? What are you teaching me? And that's really helped me to overcome that. But and there's two other things, but before I go further, if you notice, I passed over all the accolades, right? Because that's the motto of a Green Beret, is quite professional. You know, that's why, you know, I always tell that, you know, SEALs write books, we fight the war.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's the SEAL at? No. All right.
But well, we've had a few.
Yeah, you had. Yeah, yeah. Bingo, right? You got a good book, I'm sure. Good publicist.
Yeah, we've read a lot of Navy books.
But we've learned that there's a difference between quiet professional and silent professional, right? Yeah. And there is an inevitability of telling the story. You don't have to be full of yourself. You don't have to make it about you, which you'll never hear. It's not about me. It's about my team. And so my team that day, 15 Americans went up against 250 fighters. And after 6.5 hours, there were 70 danger close airstrikes. The Medal of Honor was awarded, the Air Force Cross, 9 Silver Stars, 8 Purple Hearts, and we won. Mm. Which made us the most decorated Special Force team, you know, since Vietnam battle ever. It was about to, which I don't know if I can say this, but there's about to be another Medal of Honor awarded. You're going to be an upgrade from the Silver Star there. And that's the day that we had that day. That's the amount of odds that we overcame that day. And that's why I'm just humbled to be a part of just a small piece of this great team that I was with. And yeah.
But you weren't done.
So that's what happened to the leg.
You weren't done.
No, that's it. Yeah. Well, I can't be a fat one-legged guy. You ask why I don't get fat? I'm hard enough for as it is. I already threw one paddle off the boat.
Yeah. But I mean, you even after losing the leg, you went back to it.
I did. I was the first amputee to ever graduate Special Forces Sniper School.
Yeah.
And which I might have been the only one to try. I've been dumb enough to try, but. Yeah, that was a tough day at the office, or a tough couple months at the office, rather. But I did that, and I was working at the sniper detachment for a while, and then post-service, I've been fortunate enough to have done the Bataan Death March, which was one of the hardest marathon routes in the world.
You had to carry a rucksack on.
Yeah, it was a 45-pound rucksack, 26 miles, 5,000 feet above sea level, 2,000 feet of elevation change, 4 different terrains. You know, we had a... It was a good time. I did that twice, by the way. I don't know. I didn't get the memo the first time.
Yeah.
You know. I'm a glutton for punishment.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah.
Well, there's like a little meme where it has like an Army guy that says, "Oh, this sucks," and the Army Ranger that says, "Yay, this sucks," and the Green Beret that says, "Make it suck more."
Yeah.
You know, that we're the make it suck more type guys.
Yeah. And even with that, I mean, you finished, what, 4th in the Boston Marathon?
I did. Yeah, that was one where I was, like, happy and mad at the same time. I was like, yay, 4th. And I was mad. I'm like, damn it, I should have trained. I could have got first.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I did it on a hand crank. I never forget. I was under the little hand cycles. You know, I was in Walter Reed in D.C., and like I said, I can't be a fat one-legged guy. I'm like, well, I can't run. Might as well do this. And I was just exercising. And then there's an organization called Achilles. They asked me if I wanted to go do the Boston Marathon. And I said, well, can my family come? They're like, yeah. I said, sure. Free trip to Boston. I'll take it.
Right.
And ended up did an hour and 52 minutes and got 4th place.
That's incredible. Yeah, I should have trained.
Yeah, should have trained, man.
Yeah. I mean, you came in top 10 in the New York?
Yeah. I got finished top 10. I did New York after that, which
there's not a lot of quit in you.
No, there's not a lot of quit either. Yeah. Not a lot of smart in me either. But
I mean, anybody that's industrious enough to tuck his foot in his balls and climb down a mountain on his ass. I mean, that's pretty amazing. I mean, people complain. That's what's funny to me. Mm-hmm. We live in a world where everybody complains. They've never been through anything. Everybody's offended. They're so thin-skinned. And then you got people like yourself who go out there and just quietly kick ass.
Well, if my life sucks, the guy that shot me wins. And that's some going to win.
There you go.
Him or
his. I mean, that's a perspective.
Yeah. Every joke that we make, every good experience that I have, every veteran that I help is a middle finger to the guy that shot me.
Yeah.
Said, no way, Jose. And in fact, I've had 2 kids since getting shot, so I got 2 more infidels, so suck that, Taliban. Right?
That's how we do it on the Chad Prather Show. Bingo. Party time, Mom.
I'm sorry.
Big time. I love it.
Is this recorded?
I don't know. Oh, yeah.
We do headlines all the time, and after we get done with them, Chad's always like, I hate people. But then we do interviews like this with you, and we're like, man, people are awesome.
Yeah.
You know? Our military.
They really are.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, we were joking about it last week. I forget. We were on the road and people said, you know, you're one of those guys that just thinks the military, these veterans, they should just get everything. And you defend them and you fight, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you're damn right. I think they should get everything. I've been taken care of, cradle to grave, everything taken care of.
They don't get, we don't want anything.
Right. That's exactly right.
The only thing we want is opportunity.
That's exactly right.
I don't want you to give me anything, but you give me the opportunity. I guess what, Coach? I'm going to knock it out of the park.
It's what, you know. That's the people, I mean, the men and women that put on a uniform with the willingness to serve it and potentially sacrifice and give their lives for our liberty. I mean, that's what makes this country great. I mean, that's why we live in the
America's
greatest nation
not
in
awesome.
History.
Americans, right.
Americans
are awesome.
That's exactly right.
It's Americans that made this experiment 243 years ago that said we can come from any religion, any creed, any race, and live under one set of ideals, American ideals.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, the founder of the Progressive Party that everybody likes to talk, Teddy Roosevelt, he even said there's no 50-50 with being an American. You either are or you're not.
Yeah.
There's no hyphenated, I'm half Mexican. Mama's Betty Jo Huerta. Grandma didn't speak a lick of English. But guess what? I'm American. I'm not Mexican-American. Right. When I got shot, Mexico did nothing for me. Why is my identity automatically going to be Mexican first?
Yeah.
You know, there's no Asian-American or African-American. We're all American. I love the fact that whenever we watch the Olympics, they're going to be coming up not too long, right? When they say we got America's up, you don't know what color they are.
That's right.
What other country is going to be like that? It's America. Like, make no mistake, we're the best planet, that country that's ever happened on this planet in its existence. And we shouldn't apologize.
Nope, not a bit.
And we do more good than anybody else on the planet.
Yeah.
Not perfect, but we do more good. And, you know, this isn't a cuss word. That middle flag's not that middle flag. That American flag's not a middle finger.
Yeah.
It's the best beacon for hope that has ever happened to this planet.
Yeah. You got protesters in Hong Kong that are flying American flags.
Absolutely.
And they're saying, don't give up your rights. Don't give up your rights, because that's what they've been taken away from them. And these people have more you got Chinese people with more American patriotism than half of America right now.
One of my closest friends, David Faraday, Irish guy, right? Yep. Born in Ireland, loves it, loves everything about it. Guess what he is? He's an American.
Right.
Because he knows what it's like to live elsewhere. He knows what it's like to grow up without the freedoms that this place has.
Yeah. I just like to hear him talk. Yeah. We did a show. I was in Calgary a couple of weeks ago, and I was joking with him. I said, you guys, I like it here. I said, it's a beautiful place. I could probably live here, but... You know, just minor differences like this whole freedom of speech thing and this gun rights and crazy. They don't even have bills. I mean, how do you go to a strip club with loonies and toonies? They're coins.
Bring a new definition to quarters.
Allison's over there sitting off the thing. She's from Calgary. And I asked her, I said, did they really? Is that what they did with the loonies and toonies of coins? If you go to a strip club, is that the deal? You just drop the coins on the... I mean, how do you pick those up with your butt cheeks? That's hard. See, that's why America's great.
They're right there, right off the bat.
We don't bruise our strippers.
Somebody's got to put them through college.
Exactly. I mean, they're trying to get their master's degree or something, you know, in career and education. Career and education. But that's it. But, you know, your story and your experience, of course, and God bless you, man. I love every time I hear you talk. It's such a blessing to me, and it's a reminder of the graciousness that's there. I mean, you know, God knows you've gotten a lot of grace. You talk about coming through all that stuff, and you can always tell people who have a lot of grace is they're gracious.
Absolutely.
And you're a gracious soul and a generous guy, you know, and it's always so encouraging to have somebody who's willing to be open and honest about what they've been through and then put it in that kind of perspective.
Right.
And you never fail to do that. And it's great, great stuff. But it's opened up so many doors and so many platforms for you.
I mean, I've been very blessed to, you know, since losing a leg, I say it's one of the best things that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
You know, because of me, you know, I didn't lose it, right? Because of me not having my leg anymore. You know, I've been given a life that I never would have gotten before. I've got to go on hunts by great Americans that have given me, you know, from mountain caribou hunts to, you know, bear hunts to the stuff that, you know, I'm from a broke family in Groesbeck, Texas, you know.
A Mexican named John Wayne.
Yeah, yeah. Tejano. Daddy was a redneck. Mama was Mexican. You don't get much more Texan than that.
I love it.
Yeah, you know. But to come from, again, you know, I speak with some Medal of Honor recipients. I've been very fortunate. There's an organization called Tribute to Valor. Mm-hmm. What they do is go into schools. And their big thing is, who am I? Right? That's what they want the kids to answer. Who am I? Well, I am a redneck from Groesbeck, Texas, right? From 3,500 people. I'm from a broken home. Both my parents were put in jail. I wasn't raised by my parents. Mm-hmm. I am a minority because I'm half Mexican. I'm also a person that doesn't let my circumstances dictate who I'm going to be, right? I am also somebody that no matter what, I'm going to do the hardest that I can. Like, you want the secret handshake to being a Green Beret? They told me to do everything that they told me as hard as I could. Mm-hmm. That's it. Right? That's who I am. Yeah. I'm somebody that doesn't quit. I care. There's three things in life that you got to do. It's very, very simple. It's not that hard. First thing is do the right thing. Everybody knows what the right thing is. whether it's in your job, whether it's personal, whether it's spiritual, emotional, whatever it is, you know the right thing to do. You're the one that's got to make that decision whether you're going to do the right thing, right? Yeah. Second thing is work hard, right? Work hard at work worth doing. That's another Teddy Roosevelt quote, mm-hmm. right? That's something that we've really lost today is the value of hard work. That life's not easy. You know, this I hate this Kardashian world that we're living, right. This selfie generation. You know, I tell these kids, whenever you take a selfie, think about being selfless, right? Think about the greatest generation. It wasn't just soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marine that won World War II. It was Americans that spent $18 billion buying war bonds to fund the war,
mm-hmm.
right? Remember Rosie the Riveter?
Yeah.
Ford, Chevy, and Dodge stopped building cars and started building planes, tanks, and Jeeps. Like more Willys Jeeps were built out of a Ford plant than out of a Willys plant. And guess what? Ford didn't own Willys, right? But we had that compelling necessity to be a part of something that's bigger than ourselves back then because it's hard, you know, that hard work, you know. So work hard. And last thing is help others.
Yeah.
Because if you do the right thing and you're working hard, you're going to get some success in life. And by all means, buddy, you better never, ever forget those that helped you. And you always should help others.
Yeah.
You know, like right now, you know, when I started, I was very fortunate to start a gun company called Five Toes Custom. That was my middle finger to the Taliban, right? Take my leg, I'll name my company after it.
Yeah.
And we had some Marines, a couple Marines and a Navy guy working there. And I was fortunate enough to, you know, build it up to where I sold it off. But it wasn't about the guns. It was about being a place where veteran can come by building handcrafted rifles. That was Five Toes Custom. And after selling that, I started Gallantry Global Logistics. And what was great about it is I partnered with a big company, great company, 25-year-old company called Pegasus Logistics, but I'm minority owned and it's service disabled veteran owned. So in the shipping world, whenever you have that minority spend and that veteran spend that has to happen, you can come with me. Because your heart wants to, right? But as a brain, you have got to make a business decision. Yeah. Well, knowing you have a $200 million 25-year-old company that can back this for you, you can do that, right? So the more shipments that we have, the more veterans I can hire, and that's what we're all about is providing the next mission. And the last thing that, you know, the company that I co-founded is Live to Give Water. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited about this. We just are on Amazon, by the way. It's Live to Give, and we're going to outsmart water, smart water. Because nice. There's nothing smart about smart water.
Yeah.
It's just water. They just have a cool name called smart, right? Trust me, I know. I make them now.
Yeah.
And every bottle you buy from Live to Give, we're giving half the net profits to veteran first responder charities.
That's great.
Right off the bat, half. And people ask me, like, you sure you can do that? Well, let's see. Coke bought vitamin water for $4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit to give away and all that, right? And that's just what we're going to do. By doing that, we're going to sell 3-1 because we're going to give everyday Americans the way to give back daily.
Yeah.
Because everybody, you know, everybody drinks water. It's the same price, same quality, everything. But you know, every time you pick up that bottle of Live to Give, you're going to help not only veterans, but first responders because they need the help as well.
Yeah. Get on Amazon.com. Get some Live to Give water.
I'm pumped up.
Congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you.
That's
it's
great.
Been a 2-year road that we've been working on. And by the way, guess who's making my water?
Chuck Norris. C-Force.
Yeah. My wife was like, only you could have Chuck Norris make your water. I'm like, hey, I don't write this.
And that's a crazy story. I mean, how they've discovered the water on their place, you know, down in Navasota.
Navasota, Texas.
They were trying to find minerals, digging for minerals, and hit some of the purest water in the...
Well, they were drilling a water well and hit an aquifer.
Yeah.
Flooded 5 miles of ranches south of them, had to get the Corps of Engineers to come cap it. And then, that's how we got mixed up with them. And we're on Amazon now. We're trying to get in stores. The sales process getting into HEBs and all the Brookshires and all that other stuff is a little less glorifying than how it is buying the product. But we're going to get there.
You will.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No quit in you.
No.
That's what I love about you.
This is a capitalist who actually gives back.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I didn't think that was possible.
Well, the thing about it is, and you know, we've talked about it. I mean, people want to talk about capitalism and complain about capitalism, and everybody's buzzword these days is democratic socialism, which is a joke. But you know, this capitalism has lifted more people out of poverty than any other economic system in the history of
ever.
The world. And so, you know, I'm a capitalist. That's why people always like, you're a sellout. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll sell out shows. I'll sell out theaters and tickets and everything we can do. I'm going to sell out every day.
And guess how much good you're going to do because of that.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing is if somebody changes their values and, you know, kind of makes a deal with the devil at the crossroads and all of a sudden becomes somebody different for the sake of money. Okay, yeah. You're selling out. I don't believe anything any different than I've always believed. I got the same convictions, but mm-hmm. it's great to be able to make money with those convictions. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Don't you agree, Sarah?
Absolutely.
You're another Mexican.
Orale.
Orale.
Gonzalez.
Well, I had a successful entrepreneur once, you know, I've been very blessed to have a lot of mentors. And he said, John Wayne, I didn't invent the concept of money, and you don't necessarily have to like it, but the more you have, the more good you can do.
That's true.
That's
absolutely true.
Right?
Speaking of people with money, Don Jr., how's he doing?
He's living
family?
The great American dream.
You talk to him pretty often, don't you?
Fortunately, I've been very blessed to be in that circle. I've known him for a few years, a lot now, actually. I donated a rifle to a charity mm-hmm. When I had the gun company, and I met him at the event, and he's a gun guy.
Yeah,
like make no mistake about it. And he don't know the gun. He knows what type of barrel it is, what type of action, what trigger, what stock. And
is there any chance you can get him to Texas Gun Experience here pretty soon?
I may know a guy.
Good.
Yeah.
He's a hunter though.
Yeah.
Right.
Do what?
He's a hunter.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he's not the hunter with like Garcon, hand me my. I'm ready for my rifle. No, he goes up. He hunts it. He's kinsy. He is the most ethical and moral hunter than you can get. He is. Yeah. He's it. Because trust me, there's do what?
He killed a triceratops. Dinosaur,
yeah, right before
dinosaur line.
Yeah, I said that to him a while back, and because it happened a few years ago, yeah. Right? And
it's a funny picture. People were losing their
people
mind.
People don't know how good that family is. Like, I never will forget the first time I met him, he's like, oh, that's a Bartline barrel. And my reaction, which I shouldn't have said out loud, but I did, I was like, what do you know about that, Mr. New York?
Yeah.
And
funny.
And anyway, he started talking, and we've just become friends, and I remember he called me up. Remember whenever Fox News or the president skipped the debate during the primaries,
right.
and the Fox News, because him and Megyn Kelly, I think, got in a tiss up, and he had that veteran event. Well, I was the keynote speaker for that.
Mm.
And I didn't know that at the time. I just knew that Junior called me, and he's like, hey, John Wayne, do you want to introduce my dad? I was like, sure, I'll go introduce him. Introduce, 3 minutes on stage, right? So they fly me up to Iowa. I'm in the green room. The lady's talking about my 3 to 5 minutes. Well, Don Senior comes in. He's like, all right, John Wayne, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to introduce you. You got 20 minutes. Say whatever you want.
Wow.
Primetime television, national, all this, you know, millions of viewers. Say whatever you want. I'm like, all right. Where's that speech I wrote, you know? And some say I pulled it out of my heart. Yeah. Some say other places, but
yeah.
But I spoke for 20 minutes. And I brought Jake. Jeff went up there with me.
Yeah.
That's put great. Them on stage, gave him a 22 kill ring, and I've just been very blessed to get in there. And they're just great people. People don't realize, I never will forget Don, Junior.
Mm-hmm.
So Senior's driver is now in charge of like one of the Trump buildings. Black guy, by the way, 20 years, has worked his way up from being his driver to in charge of, you know, multi-million dollar projects. And Junior literally drove like he was in the mountains. I think he was cat hunting. And he went all the way, drove like 12 hours to the nearest airport, flew on it, and flew back just so he could be at that guy's 20-year anniversary.
Wow.
You know.
See, those are the things that people take it, they have no clue what they're
no
talking
clue.
About. They have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
there's story after story. You know, Senior, again, they were his limo broke down. A family helped him out. He paid that family's mortgage off.
Mm.
Nobody talks about that. You know, they just want to talk about what, you know, where he's grabbing people. And
Well, I mean, you know, look, our good friends were up there this week. Terrence Williams, you know, he got on, you know, little Terrence, he's got the podium like this. He can't even hardly see over it. You know, David Harris was there. Brandon Tatum, Rob Smith, Isaiah Washington. Yeah, racists don't typically let big groups of black people come in their house.
No. Well, we did criminal justice reform.
Exactly.
Who does that help?
I know.
I don't know. Minorities, maybe. People talk about they're the ones that are incarcerated the most, right? But they literally are putting them out of jail. Yeah. He can't get the credit for that. It just Don't pull my string. And
I like you when I pull your strings. Yeah.
Let me tell you something, Your Honor. Oh, sorry.
I love it, man. What's next for you? You traveling a lot? Are you still doing a lot of speaking? And
So I don't have an agent. You know, yeah. That's why my little joke about SEALs. I don't have a publicist or agent. But I do have a good network of people that I've been very fortunate to invite me to go. I actually spoke at Mississippi State football team a few weeks ago, which, by the way, I'll tell that story real quick because that was, you know, one of the key things about being a, you know, special forces soldier is knowing your operational environment, right? I'm out of college, kind of liberal.
Mm-hmm.
85% black people, right? Because you're in the SEC football.
Yeah.
Known for being Democrat. Well, guess who I had introduce me? The president. So I have a video from whenever he read my bio on stage. That's you funny. Know, I cut it into an intro video for me when I go on stage and speak. Let me tell you, you want to talk about being intimidated. It's a good thing I've been shot at because they were in their film room, right? So it was like a theater and the door was shut. I could hear the coach. You know, we have a guy coming on, and as soon as you heard, you know, Trump speak, what the, you know, and you just heard them booing and hollering and whatever. I'm like, oh, yeah, it might not have been a good idea. Like, I don't even remember what I said first. I didn't say thank you for having me. I just went up there and started slinging.
Yeah.
Just started slinging freedom, you know. But they love me. Like, it was so – that proves that we are not as divided as as the media wants to say we are. Because it was 85% black and 90%, you know, minorities, you know, just a sprinkle of white guys in there and having this redneck from Groesbeck going in there talking, Trump introducing me. Every single one of them gave me a hug afterwards.
That's awesome.
How is this country divided? You know, it's just, it's an amazing. But so I do a little bit of that. That's not my real job. Like I said, I do the logistics thing is my real job. The water, whenever it kicks off, hopefully we're going to do a lot of good with that. But, you know, it is hunting season. I am dressed in Cuyu right now because I may be going somewhere this evening.
Okay. All right.
But
some things need killing.
Hey, well, somebody's got to do it.
Some things need killing. I went out and joined the Defender Outdoors. They got their skeet range out west over in Aledo, and I joined up over there. That's gotten back in my blood, shooting clays and stuff like that. I grew up doing that stuff. And we had an event. Allison's husband had an event. His company Earth Basics, and we were there, and I was like, oh man, this is what I need, another expensive hobby.
Yeah,
so I'm back into that.
I just got back from Argentina dove hunting.
You know where I hear the place to go now is Uruguay.
Really?
Yeah, they say Uruguay is even better than Argentina.
Wow.
Yeah, our buddy,
that's hard to believe.
Yeah,
I know. Can't afford for it to be any better.
I know, right?
We're like, wait, we have to buy the shells too.
Yeah our buddy Troy Earhart, he Circle T Outfitters, he was telling me that the other day at that shoot, and he was saying, yeah, Uruguay's where it's at.
Yeah,
he said it's like a cloud of night just coming over, which I mean, I've been to Argentina too, you know, you melt the barrel.
And I tell everybody, I will never go back to do it like I did it, which was to dove hunt.
Yeah,
I'd go for an experience, I'd hunt a little bit, but you just can't load fast enough. And I've been on the range a lot, shooting a lot of rounds. Like, I've seen that movie. I don't care to be doing that.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, we did some fishing and you know, do that. And but look, that just goes back to another reason why we live in the best place on the planet, because I was given that hunt for free.
Yeah.
Why? Because I lost my leg for your freedom, you know. And I don't take, like, the invitation you had come up here, I don't take it lightly. As you can tell, I mean everything that I say. You know, that's why when you say, you've heard me say it, whenever you say thanks for your service, I don't say you're welcome. I say you're worth it.
Yeah.
Chad, you're worth fighting for. You're worth this leg.
True.
You know, and you're worth having to see my kids on TV saying Merry Christmas.
Right.
Or making a video that says, hey, guys, Daddy loves you in case I die. Right. Yeah. You're worth that. And every opportunity I get, I don't take it lightly. I just do the best that I can and make sure that we give back, right?
Yep. We got tens of thousands of people watching this thing right here. Get on Amazon.com and buy water. Live to give water. You got to do it. I mean, thank you for doing that.
Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's how I say that I am serving just as much now, not wearing a uniform, than I am when I did. Why? It's because of the opportunities that I give to other people and trying to, you know, raise the platform of what the truly special forces guys are doing and giving back. So that's what we're doing. We're giving everyday Americans the opportunity to give back daily at a price you can afford it.
Yeah.
You know, because you've been at the charity events where how awesome is it to see a guy spend. You know, like me and Jeff, we're going hunting on Friday. Why? Because somebody auctioned off a hunt with us, and they spent a lot of money to go hunt with us. I can't wait till I'm that cool to do that, right? But not everyday Americans can do that. But guess what they can do? Buy water.
Yeah.
Because they're buying it anyway, and they know just by buying something as trivial as water, we can change lives. So I always like to put things in perspective. Instead of saying you're donating to charity, let me let you know what charity does. So a good friend of mine, Dave Glenn, he got blown up. And actually, he was the SF guy that he in-processed me into third group.
Mm-hmm.
And because of his injury, it was hard to conceive a child. Well, TRICARE wouldn't pay for in vitro process. Well, the Green Beret Foundation, they did pay for that. And now they have a daughter. Think about that. That's changing lives.
Yeah.
So something as trivial as buying water now can give somebody another life. Like it's incredible to know what good we can do. And I'm just pumped up about it. You can just tell I just cannot wait to see the amount of good that we can do just by giving them, you know.
It's going to be great.
Absolutely.
It's going to be great. Thanks for coming in, man.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for hanging out. Sorry you had to put up with this nonsense.
I do bar mitzvahs. And
I mean, I just want to say, your story was fine. It's nothing compared to, you know, my story of being a spoiled, entitled American who's done nothing.
She chipped the nail
but
last week.
Yeah. I did. And so,
did you use tourniquet? Yeah.
Yeah,
I know a guy.
Exactly.
She needed morphine.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting over here underachieving again.
Yeah. It was just, I mean, don't mean to brag or anything, but I've done nothing in life and you've done everything. So thank you for sharing.
You're worth it. Thank you so much for having me.
I like that, Steve, because every time we'll have a guest on here and Steve's like, I am such an underachiever. Yeah. Like, I've really never
I'm
done
getting
anything
really good
in my
at underachieving.
Life.
You make it easy for me.
This one, well, this story, though, just, I mean, more than
well,
ever.
I tell you what, you know, I tell everyone when I give a speech, I always say that, you know, there's three things I want you to get from hearing me speak, because I never will forget the first time somebody asked me that. It would kind of hit me in the back of the head. I'm like, man, that's a good question. I should probably think about it.
Yeah.
Normally when I speak, it is blackout when I wake up, everybody's clapping, you know?
Yeah.
But one of the things that I always say is stop being good and start being great.
Yeah.
You know, think about that, what it is, you know, and that's something different from everybody, right? It might be a relationship you should get closer to, or maybe one you should get away from, or a hobby you should get or quit, you know? And I'll be honest with you, with me, it was drinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Army, being a redneck, what you do is drink, mm-hmm. right? When something good happens, woo, let's go have a beer, y'all.
Yeah.
Something bad happens, what do? Hey, man, let's go have a beer. Well, there's 30 names that are embroidered on the center console of my truck of Green Berets and Navy SEALs that are dead. Not deployed, but dead. And I didn't know how to deal with it. You know, the military teaches you how to deal death, right? I can come into this room, look you in the whites in the eye, pull a trigger, and I will sleep well at night. That's what I was taught to do. But what I'm not good at doing is getting a call that Aaron Bellagio's dead, that mm-hmm. Ryan Savard's dead, that Robbie Miller's dead, that Willie's lover's dead, that Chris Kyle's dead. And the day I got the phone call about Chris, I drank. That's what you're supposed to do. Chris loved Jack. I had Jack. And I woke up the next morning, and it wasn't almost so hungover, I'm never drinking again, one of those. I've seen that movie, but it wasn't that show. I was mad. I was mad that I'm not living well for him. I said, enough. I said, if all of their lives matter so much that I got to do this, by God, I owe it to them to live well. Not just live, but live well, because Chris don't have a choice about how good of a father he's going to be, but I do, right? Aaron Bellagio don't have a choice how good of a husband he's going to be, but I do. And if they matter, I owe it to them to live well. And that's what I started doing, was living well, and I started thinking about, how do I do that? Well, I was 32 at the time, and I never once remembered me saying to my friends, I'm not drinking today, guys. I was always the guy, I'm like, hey, guys, 30 packs in the back of the truck, let's roll, right? I'm driving. And I said, well, I know what that guy looks like. Let's try the one off the sauce. And it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. You know, I always say I wasn't excessive, I was consistent, right? Put that on the back of a shirt, right?
Yeah.
I'm not excited. I'm consistent. You know, I never drank more than a six-pack. I never bought more than a six-pack. Let me rephrase that. On daily occasions, I never drank or bought more than a six-pack. I never had more than a bottle. And if I did, one bottle at the house of whiskey, and what I did was one or two glasses. But I drank 5 to 6 days a week. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it's my red-blooded American right to have a beer, right? It's my red-blooded American right after I go home to go have a scotch or two. Well, I realize it's my right not to. And now, whenever I get that phone call that somebody is no longer with us, I don't drink to honor them. I take my kids to the movies. I take my wife to dinner. I go call my friend. I say, hey, how are you doing? I live well for them, right? That's what you do. And it's one of the hardest things that I've done. Every day that I am sober is one day better. It's great. Because I was good, because that's why I call it good to great, because, you know, I had so many of my friends say, well, I'm good. I'm like, well, so was I. I was good when I drank. Didn't beat my wife, had a job, became a Green Beret, right? I was good. Now, Chad, I am so great because I can have that clear head, that sober mind, that when I wake up every day, it's a great day, and I'm just pumped up, ready to get life, and it's awesome. You know, I'm not talking to you guys, by the way.
Steve.
This is just coffee.
Yeah, that's coffee in that cup.
Oh, I always love the reactions in the room whenever I start talking about me, and then I see them, like, looking at me with guilt. I'm like, this isn't about you. It's about me.
Yeah.
I don't drink, but I never have, so I don't
name.
I came out of my mom drunk.
Yeah.
So I didn't need it, you know.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know what it's like to have been a drinker and then stop.
Well, with me, I have that addictive trait. Again, my dad's an alcoholic. My mom, the same thing. You know, they're put in jail. I'm, you know, against the grain. I'm one of the very few of my family that have, which thank God for that. But so I know I've got that addictive personality. I mean, which is good, by the way. I became a Green Beret. You know, it's not easy to do that.
Right.
You have to have that anything worth doing is worth overdoing trait. You know, same like with opioids. You know, I never will forget whenever I was in the hospital. Actually, I was out of the hospital up in D.C. Since I was in special operations, they gave me my own apartment. So my wife and two kids, we were in a two-bedroom apartment up in D.C. I never will forget my son. He fell off the coffee table. Well, I went to go catch him because I had my leg off, which, you know, that's why I say we're not real friends until we get leg off times. You know, girls, you know, bra off, right? Right. Yeah. Yeah. Guys, I don't know if you know, but yeah, that's kind of the closest thing you can know about leg off time. But I had my leg off and I went to go catch my son like any father does, but I landed on my stump. Right. And he fell and I'm crying because I let my son fall and he's crying. And I wasn't crying that I failed as a father. I was crying because I knew the reason why, Chad. I knew because I was too doped up to catch them. I was. Let's put things in perspective. You know what a Percocet is?
Sure.
Everybody knows what that is, right? Do you know what's actually in it? Think about that. When I ask that question, that should be a red flag that if you are on any meds, you should go home and actually see what medication you're taking. Because Percocet's not a medicine. That's what some marketing agency said that sells this drug, right? Just like Tylenol is not a drug, acetaminophen is the drug, right? So what's in Percocet is 325 milligrams of acetaminophen, which is Tylenol, and 5 milligrams of Oxycontin. That's the good stuff, the opioid, right, epidemic that we were having. And they were prescribing me as an outpatient, again, I'll remind you, not as an inpatient in the hospital, but outpatient, going to Outback Steakhouse, going to mall, doing everything. They were prescribing me 80 milligrams of straight oxy 3 times a day.
Wow.
On top of about 12 other anti-psych meds, anti-inflammatory meds, anti-anti meds, there were so many different things that I was taking that I was a zombie. You know, and I made that choice then that I can either be doped up and be myself, or be doped up and be a zombie, or hurt and be myself. And I chose pain because right now I hurt. I will have pain for the rest of my life because this was about 6 months post-injury. And I knew my leg's not growing back, right? It's not getting any longer. I talked to this Mexican guy down in Mexico City. He said he had some reptile semen, but I don't know. I think he just took my money.
Well, what's in that?
Yeah. But my leg's not growing back.
That's a hell of a capsule.
Yeah. What is that? But so I knew I'm just going to have to hurt for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And so getting off that was one of the hardest things I did next to the alcohol. But yeah, just being a sober person with that clear head and sober mind, man, I love it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I love it. Good episode. Good talk. Always good hanging out with you, brother. I love you, man.
Likewise.
I appreciate
Thanks for having
you.
Me.
You guys go to watchchad.com. Check it out. Find me out on tour. It's coming to a city near you, maybe. We'll see. Busy. So busy, Steve. Got so much going on. So much going on. Hey, go where podcasts are offered and leave us a review. Go to Apple Podcasts right now. 5-star reviews. We do not accept anything less than 5-star reviews. We pursue excellence here, and we like good reviews, and we like moving up in the rankings because, hey, we just want to be the best. Just want to be the best. We got to get Don Jr. on the show. We'll Skype him in.
homework.
You know what Daddy Trump did? I got a show in Addison, Texas on the 17th. Trump scheduled his rally for Dallas the same night. Yeah. I'm not appreciating it.
Not ideal.
I think they'll both be sold out, though. So
yeah,
I think
it'll be sold out.
We're going to try to convince him to come on over
exactly.
to the show afterward.
DJT, baby. All right. John Wayne Walding, check him out. Get on Amazon.com. Go get the Live to Give Water. I'm telling you, man, check him out. Find him online. You can read more about this guy right here. I'm telling you, this is an American hero, and just what a legacy. What a legacy. What a reputation, the character, and just the integrity that you got, man. I appreciate you, and always good hanging out with you. So
you're worth it, man. Thanks
for thank you. And one of these days, we'll go kill something.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
I know, right?
I'm going on Friday.
That's good. I'm going to drink.
Hop in. That's it. I'm driving. It's good to have a sober friend. I can drive
exactly.
you everywhere.
Exactly. That's why I got.
And I can remember what you did.
Exactly. That's why I got five kids. You got to keep somebody pregnant all the time
Bingo.
So they'll drive.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm going to start my own Uber.
Yeah.
With my friends. Bingo. Just with my friends.
Yeah, yeah. Venmo-y.
There you go. There you go. We're getting out of here. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for watching. Be sure to share the episode. Tell all your friends about it. We love y'all. God bless you. Talk to you next time. Bye.